If you would, turn with me to Matthew 19, verses 25 and 26. And here, the Lord's being asked by his disciples about salvation and what needs to be done. And so in verses 25 and 26 of Matthew 19, he says, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, 'Who then can be saved?' But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" And so I think of some of the challenges that we're faced with throughout our lives, and I'm sure some of you may know someone who's been in one of these challenging situations that I just noted in our prayer, that what might seem impossible for those who've been underwater or are seeing storm after storm, they are not impossible for God to pluck us from. And when you break this down into the Greek, and you look at the word, two words actually. One is impossible, and one is possible. And note that it's all things that are possible, and this is the all things. And so as we look at the Greek words for possible, it has to do, it's the Greek word dynatos, and it has to do with being able. It is often used for either mighty, possible, or strong. And for some of you who know my call sign here, it's Dunamis Coach. Dunamis, it comes from the same word. The opposite of that is the Greek word adunato, and it means to be unable. It is impossible, or to be impossible. And it is more passive. It has to do with being weak and impotent. You know, we think of ourselves in comparison to God, and we are definitely that. But when we think of what God has done, and I just ask you to take a piece of paper out and write down some things that maybe have seemed impossible for you, but God, through his strength, has gotten you through. And you've achieved a result that you never thought you could do, but you realize this was the Lord. This is really his in our lives. And we see this same situation repeated in Mark 10, 17 through 27. The context, again, of this is the same. And the disciples are coming to him saying, "Who can be saved?" And he said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So it's almost the exact same context and situation. In Luke 1:37, he says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. So we see that with God there is nothing impossible. And so I want you to challenge that thought. Is there anything impossible for God? And let's get to that. And I'm going to show you that there is one thing that's impossible for God. And when we look at the word for impossible here, it is the same Greek word adunato, it means to be weak or to be unable, whereas God is able. And so we want to take a look at that word as well as we go forward here. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, let me read. Romans 8, 1 through 4. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, or what possible, in that it was weak, the again of might, through the flesh, so it was the flesh that was weak, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh. Think about that. It wasn't the law that gave us salvation. It isn't the law that gave us righteousness. It is the Spirit through Christ and through the sacrifice that he gave us, who obviously suffered dramatically for us and to the point of giving up his life. But note that it says not walking after the flesh. We're going to look at another verse talking about our walk and what that means. And so here we have the opposite of what our walk should be, not walking in the flesh. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Oh, there is one thing that's impossible. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So as we look at this, we see that it is undeniable or immutable, and that it is impossible for God to lie. We have a strong consolation, we have a mighty consolation, and that we have a hope that is set before us. And so this hope is not impossible, this hope is possible. Staying in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Interesting. He pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It was through faith that Christ gave his own life, and that made him approved unto the Father. It is our faith in Christ, that faith that he gave in us, because of his faith, there's nothing impossible. So let's take a look at the word able, and staying right here in Hebrews. It says by faith, Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Okay, so when he was tried, when the Lord asked him to do something absolutely impossible, and that is to give up your son. I mean, any of you with children, I mean, think of that. Could you do that? I don't know how I could. I don't know how the Lord would ask that of us, but he asked it of Abraham. And he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he believed God could raise him up. Even if he died, he believed he could raise him up. Did he believe that it would be an instant resurrection? Did he believe it would be in time he would see his son again? Don't know. Don't have any information here. But what we know is that by faith, he pleased the Lord. And he did exactly as the Lord said. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, or if you are able to believe, all thing that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou, isn't that something we could probably all say on a regular basis? I believe, but please help my unbelief. When people came running together, rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more. And this poor child that the Lord took mercy on, and yet in his unbelief, he took mercy on this child. He asked for strength to believe, strength that he would be able. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That this able, this God, this dunatos, power that's available to make all grace abound towards you. It's by grace that he's given us sufficiency. You know, I think about that because there's so many people that are either trying to follow the law, and there are so many who are trying to do rituals. There are so many who are trying to do ordinances and rules, and they have to do things a certain way to please the Lord. And the reality is, Christ died for us. Is that sufficient? Because if he's not sufficient, then it's not grace. If he's not sufficient, then he died in vain. And therefore our faith is in vain, and all of our works, all of our actions, are saying that Christ wasn't sufficient for me. And I don't ever want that to be said about me. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Wow, is that a powerful statement. I know whom I have believed. And he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelt in us. So, you know, he says, in spite of my suffering, I am persuaded that he is able. I am convinced that he is sufficient. I am convinced that he will do what he said. And now Paul is asking Timothy, hold fast to what I've told you. Hold fast to the things that you've heard of me, to that sound doctrine I've told you about. And it's not about the law. It's not about the rituals. It's not about the ordinances. It's about grace. This is repeated. This thought is repeated by Paul to Titus. Titus 10, verse 9. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We have to be prepared. Talk to those individuals who would contradict grace. We have to have an answer. The only way I can get an answer is through the Spirit. It's having my eyes of understanding being opened, and that is in the Word. That's where we find sound doctrine. That's what makes me able. That's what makes me sufficient to be able to do what the Lord would ask. There's another word for able. It is the Greek word dunamai. Again, where we get the word dunamis from, or power. And so let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37 through 39. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, again, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, talk about certainty. Talk about really knowing, being persuaded. And how do we persuade people today? Do we talk at them? Or do we do the things that the Lord would ask us to do? And by that example, people are persuaded. And so it is our actions, our walk, that others see, and they realize there's a person who truly is with the Lord Christ Jesus. Their walk proves it, and therefore I am persuaded. I know telling people that, you know, you're a horrible sinner, or, you know, you're a thief, you're a murderer, look at the bad things you've done in your life, that's not going to convince them of the grace of God. But showing them how we have failed, and by grace we are saved, that may convince them, that may persuade them. The word here, dunamai, is of certain affinity, to be able or possible, to can do, might be possible, to be of power. And so, look at this power. Let's look at where else we find it. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Ephesians 3, 19 through 21. And to know the love of Christ which passeth, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think. I've talked about this before. You know, if you get really creative, you really imagination, and you what the Lord could make possible for you in your life, in your witness to others, it's beyond what we can possibly comprehend. That's what the Lord is able to do. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, dunamis power, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So it's only through this power that we get by putting on the armor of God that we're able to stand up against the subtleties of the wicked one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about, with having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able, you will be empowered, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are able, we are empowered, because we have the Word of God. Don't leave home without it. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 21, he says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to subdue all things, everything. He can control the weather. He can control all the events around us. There are times when I want him to control traffic that he says, nah, My grace is sufficient for you. Sit there. Be patient. But he is also able to open up the Red Sea and let Israel walk through it. So that, think of what he is able to do. I'm going to skip over a couple of verses for time's sake and move to a word that is the Greek word dunamis. And the word Greek word dunamis here is a miraculous power. It is a resurrection power. It is complete strength. It is a mighty work. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, the Lord prayed, and lead us, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This power is for the ages. This power, this mighty, mighty power is not something shown just at the time of the Lord. This is a power that is ever present. This was given to the apostles, and this power was shown in their works to be aligned with Christ. In Matthew 7:22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? He gave them power to do so, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Paul later says, and actually Christ actually said before that, for which of my powerful works are you stoning me for? Because he'd done no evil. And they said, well, we don't believe your word. Your testimony is false. And he said, my testimony is true because of the works that the Father has done by me. Others said, who else has ever done these miracles? Who has ever done this healing but by him? Skip over to Romans chapter 1, verse 2. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we had the miracles done by the apostles, recorded in Matthew that we just read. Now we've got Paul talking about this power of salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile. So there's this hiatus period, there's this time in which, for jealousy's sake, God reveals these works through Gentiles, and that the Holy Spirit is upon them. And so the Jews are able to see that to provoke them to jealousy, that they might believe in these works that is done by Paul through these Gentiles. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, it says, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised these up. The Lord gave Pharaoh power. He says, because that I might show my power in thee, and that my name shall be declared through all the earth. That my power will be declared in thee. And I believe that that happens to our leaders today, our kings, our queens, our leaders, that the Lord's power might be shown in them, and or the lack of power that they actually have because the Lord is stronger. Well, let's get to the meat of those books written by Paul to us today. Ephesians 1:19-21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which he raised from the dead? It was this resurrection power, this mighty power, dunamis power, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. We have this resurrection power available to us. It was given to us when we believed. It's not something that we add on. It's something that's always there available to us. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. All right, so we are empowered. We are empowered by the grace of God. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, only because I wasn't on the scene at the time, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is that exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This is huge for us. We are empowered to make all men see the mystery. What are you doing about that? What am I doing about that? How is our walk demonstrating this power, and how are we helping others see this mystery? Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. We are strengthened with his might, with his power. Down to verse 20. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to be above all that we ask, according to the power that worketh in us. So, we read this before, but it is this exceeding abundant power that we have, this power that works in us. It is in us. It's already there. It's not something that's thrown at us at a certain time. It's already there. We have to draw upon it. And it is that resurrection power that Christ had. How do we know that? Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying that I want to be able to tap into that, and only can I tap into that knowing his sufferings. You know, maybe these things that are happening throughout the U.S. and North America and Mexico, maybe these things are foreshadowing. I don't know. But I can tell you that it is only through these sufferings do we identify ourselves with Christ. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him. How will we reign with him? We will reign with him with the power of his resurrection. Colossians 1:10 and 11, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering, we are enduring with joyfulness. I know an individual that I've worked closely with that was in Houston. He lived on the second floor of his house because he had 8 feet of water in the first floor of his house. Everything's been destroyed, including the foundation. It took 6 days for them to evacuate him and rescue him. 6 days without power and collecting rainwater to drink. How did he do that? Well, he said it was just by faith. And when we were rescued, when we were evacuated, I just knew that the Lord had the right time. And the people that rescued us, the wish that we could be to them and show them that we could survive this because we knew Christ would send someone. What a tremendous witness that is. In Colossians 1:29 it says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. This power is in you, the hope of glory, which we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Perfect, completed, fulfilled. Wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, with dunamis, with that resurrection power. And finally, Philippians 4:13. Not that I speak in respect for want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me, which empowers me, which gives me that dunamis power to get through the suffering, to get on to a time of abounding. This friend of mine, he was hungry. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing that tastes better than a hamburger right now to him, because he knows how to be hungry. And you know, we tap into that. We have the ability to tap into that. We have the ability to be strong when others are weak. We have the power to keep our heads and to know that I can do all things through Christ, because he empowers me, because he gives me that power. You know, we sat here a little over a week ago watching fires come over the hillside, and if they had gotten to the freeway and jumped the freeway, we would literally be toast. It would come up through a subdivision that would have fueled it, and we would have had less than an hour to have escaped. So Kathleen was already packing the cars. We were ready to evacuate if we had to. But the wind changed. I mean, we had these firefighters flying over us like a war zone, dropping slurry on the hillside across from us, and they were doing their best to put the fire out. But it was by an act of God that took the wind and changed it and pushed it a different direction. That's what saved us. It was by his strength, by his power, by his might, not by anything that these firemen did. They must have felt helpless flying sortie after sortie, trying to put out this fire to no avail, because every time they dropped slurry on one spot, it would pop up someplace else. There was nothing that man could do, but it was by an act of God that this wind came in and took this into a different direction. And so I told you earlier that there's one thing that's impossible for God. We read that in Hebrews. It's impossible for God to lie. I'd like to remind those who believe in the position of the preterist that God cannot lie. His prophecy is true. It will come about. Those of us who have faith, those of us who believe, those of us who know that what Christ has given us is true, we have that hope, and we look for that. So, what is possible? If we know that there's one thing that's impossible, and that's for him to lie, what is possible for him? And what we know is the power of resurrection. We know that he has signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. The power of God unto salvation in everyone that believes. He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. He is able to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come. God is able to make all grace abound towards us, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. The things that are impossible for men are possible with God, for with God nothing will be impossible, but with God all things are possible. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So what can we do with his power? What can we do with his might and his strength? Well, we put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. that may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, that we're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, that we're able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in the inner man. And I'm going to add one here that I didn't give Tony, but the effectual work of His power to make all men see the mystery. We have that power. We have been given that insight, that revelation, because our eyes of understanding have been opened. And we are able to show this to others if we have the desire. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the mighty power that worketh in us. We're strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. That's our walk, to show others what works in us mightily. That all things are possible to him that believe, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so with that, I just would ask that you again think about what Christ does for you, what He has done for you, the power that you have available, this incredible might and strength that is something that we can tap into in these difficult times, and that we, through our walk, can show others the hope that's in us, and to be able to answer their questions by our actions. What is different about you that others will see and will gravitate towards? And when we stop walking in the flesh to please ourselves, our pleasure, and instead look to please the Lord, what kind of a beautiful witness that is to others around us. And so with that, I hope and pray for each of you that you tap into this power. It's there. It's always there. And let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this power. Thank you for this might, this strength. When times are tough, Lord, we know you're there. We know that through the power of prayer, through the hope that's in us, we might move others to see what you have given us in and through your word. And as we put the mighty armor of God on a daily basis, that we have this shield, that we have this sword, that we have this helmet, that they protect us, but they also strengthen us, and that we might walk worthy and show others the hope that's in us. For we praise and exalt you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.